Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now, I can't confirm this because I ran down the hall to try to get confirmation from the big bosses around here. So I can't come here, Tiki, with confirmation. But I just read a story, and I unfortunately trust Andrew Marchand. I do. So when I read this story, it's probably true, but I tell you, as an FAN worker, I can't confirm it myself. So I will read it to you. This hits me very, very hard. No joke aside. I love this man, and this just makes me sad. That's for sure. The legendary voice of the Yankees, John Sterling, is planning to hold a news conference on Friday where he is expected to announce plans for his future. There is an expectation among Yankees and FAN officials that he will retire because of health concerns, according to people with direct knowledge of the situation. The team and the station have left it up to Sterling, leaving the possibility he could change his mind. And then there's a quote from John. "We're going to have a press conference to do everything on Friday," Sterling said. Sterling declined to confirm that he will retire and has been famously reluctant to do so. He's not scheduled to call a game until Friday in the Bronx against the Tampa Bay Rays. He had already cut back the amount of road games he is doing this year. John didn't call the last six games. We knew about that. The only thing we were told is that there were some health issues. So that's all we know. But, man, I freaking love John Sterling. And I think anyone who listens knows how we feel about him. We played all his home run clips to honor the start of the baseball season. And, look, the guys who are filling in have done a great job. But John's voice is like, to me, my age, is synonymous with the Yankees. He is the Phil Rizzuto of my time. And the idea that he has called his last game, if this is true, and I reluctantly, but I understand that Marchand is usually right with this crap, that saddens me as a baseball fan. I love John. He's one of the greats, man, and it sucks that he may never call another Yankee game again.
He is also 85 years old. We kind of forget that. And we don't forget it because we hear it in his voice a little bit and, you know, some of the moments where he's forgetful or can't see, and we kind of make light of that. It's actually part of the fabric of his call is the uniqueness into which it comes about. And obviously his relationship with Susan Waldman has been, it's legendary, and he's going to be missed if this is the end for John Sterling, that's for sure. But we won't know until Friday, until they announce this. I know that you efforted it with the architect, and we got nothing out of this, but we can only report on the story. Marchand is usually right about these things.
Yes,
he always is dialed in.
No.
Justin Shackle, Emmanuel Babari, those are the two who filled in the last
six. And they've done a great job, by the way. I'm happy for those guys.
It's just a different call. It sounds different.
I love John. I love John. And if this is true, if this happens and there's a press conference on Friday, I can guarantee you this, and Loogie's not going to be happy with what I'm about to say. I am going to go through the archives and find the greatest John Sterling calls to honor his legacy as broadcaster. And I don't just mean the home run calls. I'm going to go through everything because John, he's not thrilled with one specific call he had. He spoke to Joe and I about this years ago, and I think he's dead wrong. I think he's wrong. And that was the home run hit by a pitcher against the Mets during that crazy game when he was broadcasting for the Braves. Who was the pitcher again? Rick Wise? Who was the crappy pitcher who couldn't hit? I apologize. It was before my time.
Right, so why is he not happy with the call?
He didn't think it was a good call.
What do you mean?
And
I'm
like, John.
It sounded bad?
It was amazing. I'm going to play that for you if this story is true, and we'll go through some of these great calls. You will listen to it and say, what's he talking about? It's one of the great calls of all time.
All right.
He is such a great broadcaster. I know that everyone thinks of the home runs now. He's more than just the home runs. He's the talk show while doing a Yankee game, which I've also loved. So, Lukey, get ready for that. If this is true, we are definitely going to go through. I think top 100 John Sterling calls. Is that too many?
For John, anything.
Top 100. You okay with that, T?
Of course I'm okay with
top it. Top 100. So, best of wishes to John Sterling if this story is true. To me, I'm a 40-year-old man. He is the voice of the New York Yankees because he's the constant.
Oh, I think for a lot of Yankee fans, he is because of the dynasty, the run that they went on.
That's true. He also had all those great calls during the dynasty.
Absolutely. And then 09 as well. So, I mean, he's called them all, at least the ones that we immediately remember.
It's true. You think of all those great moments, except for that time Charlie Steiner stole the Aaron Boone home run. I'll never get over that. Oh, that pisses you off, too, doesn't it?
Of course it does. You want to hear him go nuts. You want to hear the long out the Yankees win after. Yeah, I mean, that was one that was missing from the archive. And I hope this isn't true, but I was very much looking forward to one more World Series call this year.
No, man. I mean, you heard it at the end of that road trip against Arizona, how excited he was at the end of that Diamondback game.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
We were even saying, boy, that was a playoff Yankees win from John Sterling. So I don't know what the heck's going to happen. But I hope we hear more of John Sterling. Put it that way. I hope that we haven't heard the last of the great John Sterling. We'll get to your calls. If you have thoughts on this, obviously, you're more than welcome to chime in. I'll continue to effort to get confirmation because we are at WFAM, but they don't tell me anything. It's one thing I've learned. I found out we hired a program director this morning.
No, you didn't.
I'm just kidding. But we are very excited to debut, and hello, SNY, Evan and Tiki's Top 20. It's brought to you by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. With the NFL draft just a week and a half away, we decided, and look, I didn't make the list, Tiki didn't make the list, Sean didn't make the list, but we decided to come up with an idea of ranking the 20 greatest draft picks in New York sports history.
I did contribute to the list because I voted. Just like everyone out there could have voted.
That's
as
true.
Well.
That's true.
And I hope you listened to Evan and voted.
That's right. We did open it up to the people, and that's half of how your voice was heard.
Right. And if you didn't vote, I don't want to hear from you.
That's right. Shut your mouth. But we did open up WFAN.com/draft for you to vote on who you think were the greatest draft picks in New York sports history over the last 50 years. There is also a very select panel of dignitaries. Okay. I don't even know who's on the panel of dignitaries. I just know there's a panel of dignitaries who were given the other 50% to help put this list together. So we'll argue about it. We'll cry about it. But I want to remind you, I didn't make the freaking list. Okay? Tiki didn't make the freaking list.
I voted.
He voted. I voted too. I went to WFAN.com/vote. Lukey voted too. Right, Tommy?
I sure did.
Can I tell you something? I voted for myself.
Did you really?
Of course. How could I not?
Baller move.
Good for you. Good for you, man. I don't have any problem with that. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's how it's going to work. Every day at 4 o'clock, hello, it's 4 o'clock here on WFAN, we will unveil four people starting at number 20. So today we will hear number 20, number 19, number 18, number 17. We'll do the same thing Tuesday, the same thing Thursday, the same thing Friday. We basically don't have a show Wednesday, hence why there's no list on Wednesday. And then a week from tomorrow, on the eve of the NFL draft, we will announce the final four, including the greatest draft pick in New York history. So, without any further ado, presented to you, of course, by HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City, Evan and Tiki's Top 20, we start with number 20.
Number 20, with the seventh pick in the first round of the 1979 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Phil Sims from Moorhead State.
Sims to Bavaro, touchdown.
Well, that's the touchdown of Bavaro in the Super Bowl, one of the great Super Bowl performances of all time. Phil Sims at number 20.
That's a solid one.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter,
Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sorry. Not bad.
I thought he would be a little higher. Two-time champion.
You already bitching about this?
I'm just saying. He's two-time champion. He's, like, iconic. He's New York. He feels like the guy who started this whole thing with the New York Giants, right?
Had he been healthier and actually won the second Super Bowl instead of hostility, he rises.
He drove the team there.
I'm with you, but that probably knocks him down a peg. Technically, he was only part of one playoff run for a ring.
Well, let's find out who's ahead of him on this given day. Number 19.
Number 19. In the 19th round of the 1979 MLB Draft, the New York Yankees select Don Mattingly from Leeds Memorial High School in Evansville, Indiana.
Don Mattingly. The fans want a dinger out of him. This one by Mattingly. Oh, hang on to the roof! Goodbye, home run! Don Mattingly!
That may have been the loudest Yankee Stadium ever was when he hit that home run against the Mariners in 1995. Number 19, Don Mattingly.
19?
This is going to be an esteemed list if these two guys are on the back end of it.
He was taken in the 19th round. Okay.
Well, so first of all, because he was taken in the 19th round, he needed to be higher? Is that what you're suggesting?
Correct me if I'm wrong. The list is the top 20 draft picks of the last 50 years.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
So shouldn't you be risen a peg if you had no expectation and were taken that late in the draft?
You exceeded your value.
Yeah.
Significantly exceeded your
value. I can see that point. But, you know, for Don Mattingly to go to the Hall of Fame, he needs to buy a ticket.
Right now.
I'm just saying. I'm just laying it out there. I don't think there's anything wrong with number 19.
Sounds like a Met hater.
Yeah. You're starting a team right now. You want Harold Baines or Don Mattingly?
First of all, is Harold Baines on this freaking list?
He's in the Hall of Fame. You're going to make the whole thing quip. You better be ready to answer for
all
it.
All right. So far, we got Phil Simms at number 20, Don Mattingly at 19. I think that's very respectable. It seems like both of you guys are perturbed about this. Let's hear number 18.
Number 18. With the 36th pick in the second round of the 1997 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Tiki Barber from the University of Virginia.
After the 5-yard penalty, Barber breaks to the second level and beyond. Tiki Barber down the sideline. Getting a block downfield and another one from Burris. And Barber will take it the distance. 95-yard Giant touchdown.
Wow.
Sean O'Hara worked all the way, and Barber takes it for one of the longest touchdowns in Giant history.
How does that make you feel?
The longest rushing touchdown in Giants history.
He didn't know Tariq went the time. He's making a call, seat of his pants. Does that give you good memories?
Oh, that was a great one.
I mean, do we have an issue here? I love you, Tiki. Ahead of Don Mattingly and Phil Simms.
That game won us the division that year.
Yeah. Oh my God. And, like, let's call it like a seed. He won't say it. Tiki Barber saved the coach's job who would lead us to two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Now, Tiki, just hold on for a second.
I voted for myself. I made it. I'm happy. I'm content. I don't care what else happens.
He's good.
I'm good.
Sean, as a Giant fan.
Yeah.
And Giant fans, Tiki is very comfortable in his own skin. So you can have this debate in front of him, right? It's okay to have this debate.
I truly do not care.
Are we good with Tiki being ranked higher than Phil Simms? Are we okay with that?
Mm.
Are you okay with that?
Tiki Barber is a better Giant all time than Phil Simms.
Wow. Okay.
He's a Super Bowl MVP, and I get that. Phil Simms was not the best player at his position in Giant history. Tiki Barber was.
I went to Pro Football Reference while that clip was being played.
Okay.
And I very quickly did some research. They have this thing called Hall of Fame rating. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this?
They also have a thing called AV, approximate value.
Oh, I should have done AV.
He's holding it.
I did Hall of Fame rating to see where Phil and Tiki are. Very close. Tiki has the edge. So that backed up Tiki being two slots ahead of him. Now, you have to look at AAV and tell me what it says.
Right. So Phil Simms, though, however, his number, we were talking, who was I talking about? This was Zach Martin. Phil Simms' number is retired. Because we were trying to think of who's the next giant number to get retired. Because Eli's already retired. Strahan's already retired.
I mean, you're ahead of Phil Sims on this very important list. I think this is some evidence for you.
You mean they didn't give 11 to a kicker tee?
No. And he probably retired it, like, right away.
And just one more note on this. Yeah. Tiki, close your ears. You know why he deserves to be one of the top 20 draft picks of all time?
Go ahead.
Because the Giants didn't use a first-round pick on a running back. On
All right, so we got Phil Sims at 20. We got Donnie Baseball at 19. We got Tiki at, say, 18. Let's close out the day with number 17.
Number 17, with the 38th pick in the first round of the 2001 MLB Draft, the New York Mets select David Wright from Hickory High School in Chesapeake, Virginia.
What is New York going to get out of this guy, their captain, David Wright? He's had the bad back. He's got spinal stenosis. Played less than 40 games in the regular season. It's a cold night.
I didn't know how that would make me feel. David Wright ahead of Don Mattingly.
What are we doing here? Now we know the list is fixed. You made it all.
How did I make it?
David Wright ahead of Don Mattingly, dude. David Baseball becomes a nickname, we could have this conversation.
You want to do this?
Well, that's what we're here for, Ev. Right?
You want to do this?
Yeah, let's do this.
Look up Don Mattingly's numbers compared to David Wright, and I want you to have a conversation.
Okay.
Want to have a conversation?
Slightly better war. Don Mattingly
slightly
more
better
hit.
War.
Don Mattingly more hits.
Well, hold on a second. So David Wright had a slightly better war, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
It's by 7. It's by a full 7 points. But why don't you talk about how many games Donnie played compared to how many games David played? You want to mention that? Because war is a counting stat. So if Don Mattingly played in more games, that would make it even more impressive that David has a higher war. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell the audience, or do you want me to do it for you?
Okay. So it's cumulative.
Correct.
Right.
Give me more hits, and I'm sorry.
More hits.
With all due respect.
Who had a higher on base? Who had a higher slugging? Right. Who had a higher OPS? Who had more seasons of 900 OPS or more? Who?
Good for your OPS.
And by the way, here's the caveat. Here's the touchdown dance. How'd Donnie do in a World Series?
Here's the difference,
How'd he do?
Okay.
Did he do anything, or did he not even get there?
Evan, if you had in their prime a team in the World Series and you could pick one guy to come up pinch hit, is it going to be David Wright or Don Mattingly?
That's not the question.
No. That's a big question, because if you're going to say David Wright was on a better team than Don Mattingly ever was, I don't want to hear about the World Series thing. David Wright was the poster boy for a fan base that never had anywhere close to what the Yankees had in a dynasty. So, therefore, he gets risen up by enormous pegs by Met fans. The truth is...
No.
He has similar statistics
exactly.
And slightly better than
okay.
Don Mattingly.
So say that.
Mattingly is absolutely the better baseball player you'd rather have.
No. Leave that last part in, because that matters. They had a similar career, 100%. That's why they're right next to each other, basically.
Did David Wright ever shake a stadium the way Don Mattingly did with that home run versus Seattle?
Did you just hear that home run against the Royals?
Yeah. Meek.
Oh, shut your mouth. He had a world...
David Wright is a good baseball player, but a product of Met desperation.
Why you got to disparage David Wright?
Not disparaging him.
Just so you can lift Don Mattingly.
If you were an honest baseball fan in New York and you're asking anybody who you'd rather have in their prime, it's Don Mattingly. At her peak, you'd rather have Don Mattingly. Get serious.
Well, hold on. When you discuss the merits of two baseball players, there's a lot of aspects of it. Your argument against me, and this is the argument any Donnie Baseball Show fan would have, is, hey, at his best, he was better than David Wright. Okay. The guy won an MVP. I totally get that. But that's not the simple way you just judge a player. You got to look at their whole careers. And here's what's really unfortunate. They had similar careers, and it sucks, man. It sucks that a back injury ended David's career, and it sucks that a back injury ended Donnie's career. No one's denying that.
All right.
We never got the best of both guys. But when you look at their overall careers, and you even said it, David's got similar numbers. No, he's got better numbers over the course of his career. He just does. The difference is, you talk about Met fans putting him on a pedestal, you're right, we do. And you do the same thing with Mattingly. They're actually really similar. And what I'm so proud about with this list is that I'm not telling you it's slam dunk David's better. I'm telling you it's close. And David has the edge. And this list got it right. The dignitaries and those who voted, you got it right. Because David deserves it. Just like Met fans are desperate for him, you guys were desperate for Donnie. Tiki, I think there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. Again, I'm going to come back to this. Even if you say David Wright is slightly better statistics than Nora at their peak, David Wright was taken with the 38th overall pick.
Now you're doing draft value.
No, but that matters. The top four bang for your buck. Don Mattingly taken in the 19th round for what he provided over what David Wright got at 38th overall. Don Mattingly is undoubtedly a better draft pick.
Better value, you could say.
But that has to be taken into account. We're not doing the top 20 players.
Whatever your criteria was. Whatever it was. It could have been war.
I think that's, by the way, Tiki's got it right. Like, I respect that you're looking at where he was taken, but
some people might not even care about that.
Should I take into account that David Wright was taken because they lost Mike Hampton in free agency? No, so that, in a lot of ways,
it was.
So in a lot of ways, it was a clutch draft pick. The Mets just lost this preeminent free agent, and they replaced him with a big prospect who turned out to be a star. Should that be a factor, or does that not matter to
you? No, it does matter. My point is, though, to break a close enough tie, which I think we can agree, all right, even if I'm coming that it's closer than I want, if we're doing top 20 draft picks of the last 50 years, not top 20 players of the last 50 years,
okay,
being taken in the 19th round over somebody taken 38th overall has to be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, it probably was. It probably got Donnie from 21 to 19. Congratulations.
You know, I almost cursed. Forget it. You're a you-know-what.
What have I said that's wrong?
You're a dildo head. You can't say that to me.
I said it.
No, you know what it is? He's a Met fan. You're a Yankee fan.
True.
It's just how this is going to be debated out. By the way, my AV was higher than Phil's. And he had four more years.
So we feel pretty good about Tiki over Phil Sims. Like, that is a...
Yes.
We feel good about this. Okay. Well, you guys are biased.
You don't feel good about David Wright.
Well, I want to just...
They don't, or he doesn't.
By the way, Tiki's better than David Wright.
You want to do that, T?
Mm-mm.
You think you're better than David
Wright? I'll do it for you. You're a better draft pick than David Wright.
Why would you base... Well, what's that based on?
This is also what we're talking about.
The best running back in Giants history.
It's the draft pick. The draft pick.
Okay, so
we're not talking about the player. We're talking about the draft pick. It's a nuanced difference, but there is a difference.
I agree. So Tiki Barber is the best running back in Giant history. I agree with you, which is why I think part of why he had the edge over Phil Sims. Phil Sims is not the greatest quarterback in Giants history. He's very close, but he's probably not. It's probably Eli. Maybe it's Y.A. Tittle. Maybe it's Charlie Connerly. That's up to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not number one. Tiki's number one. Well, guess what?
Well, Charlie Connerly and Y.A. Tittle, they were outside of the 50 years.
That's true. No, I meant just in general, greatest. In the last 50 years. David Wright's the best third baseman in Met history. So what the hell does that mean? So if you're going to give that same edge to Tiki because he's the best running back in Giant history, I'll do the same thing with Wright. He's the best best third baseman in Mets history.
Okay.
Congratulations.
What team history is better, the New York Football Giants or the New York Mets?
Oh, so now it's about the team history.
Well, I'm just saying.
So the Mets history is so
Giants, crappy.
Little
more iconic a franchise to be so the best at something.
What the hell does that mean? David's going to be penalized because the Mets don't have a great history?
Again, I'm all about breaking ties here, Evan, and he loses every tie break.
Mm. I disagree with
you. So this list, according to Sean, should not include any Islanders, Jets, Mets, right? The teams he hates. He can't have an actual opinion.
No, that's not true.
You just basically took a dump on the Mets franchise. What does that have to do with anything?
That's not true. The Islanders have had a dynasty
when Mattingly was there. So learn your history.
All right, didn't suck in 95.
Yeah, what do you have to do with it?
By the way, we didn't
know. Seattle just called. They want to say hi.
What if the Yankees had made a World Series in 94? A strike might have taken away that moment. What if he wins the World Series?
There'd be a lot of happy people in Montreal if there wasn't a strike.
Listen, man, if the Yankees had been to a World Series and Don Mattingly got to author a different end to his career, maybe he's ahead of David Wright. I don't freaking know.
Right. Congrats.
I'm sure that could have changed things.
You know what, Evan? Congrats. The Mets fans finally win something over the Yankees.
It's a minor thing, but he's ahead of them in this.
I think it's a real thing because I'd be in the top 10 if I'd stayed and won a Super Bowl.
That's true.
Think about that.
That is true.
You're right.
Right?
That's
you're
a
right.
good point. You're right. You finished at 19, which is, or 18, should say.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got him off by one.
Come on. Even numbers, Evan. Even numbers.
He finished at 18, but you're right. Like, if Tiki wins a Super Bowl, if Tiki plays three more years, who knows? Maybe we're talking about something different. Either way, the next four we will unveil tomorrow at 4 o'clock, and it's a fun little game. Now, some people have thoughts on this, and let me guess. They're Yankee fans who are probably in their mid-50s because they feel offended that their boyhood idol got disrespected by a panel of dignitaries and the audience who voted at WFAN.com/draft.
I was wrong.
Let's go to Louie in the Bronx. Hi, Louie.
What's going on, guys?
What's up, dude? What's
I'm up? A Mets fan. I'm a Mets fan, Evan.
Yeah.
There's no comparison between Don Mattingly and David Wright.
How could you say that?
Evan, you know what? You know what the problem is? You never really watch Mattingly.
Fair.
Okay.
That's fair. I didn't see him play.
And that's why I want to tell you the eye test. Not even look at Mattingly's great years. Wright can't even compare to it. And defensively, Okay, I liked Wright. I didn't love him. He was a butcher that day with his
sidearm
throws, though, with always a wild throw. You know what? Mattingly was aces at first.
So
and
here's
I don't like the Yankees.
What I find completely overrated about.
And I want to say something about basketball, Evan. So
not right now. Not right now. Maybe later. Here's what I find wrong about what you said, because you said something that's going to be just repeated as fact. Don Mattingly's best years were far better than David's best years. Look, I can't deny this. Don Mattingly won an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take his best season, okay? He had a 940 OPS or a 967 OPS, 145 RBIs, which is ridiculous, 113 RBIs, 35 home runs, and 31 home runs. Those are the numbers, and those are amazing. Now, if you compare it to David Wright, his OPS in his best years are basically the same. Home runs, the most David hit in a season, guess what? 33, basically the same. His highest OPS, 963, basically the same. So the only thing that that Donnie had significantly over him was RBIs. Well, guess what, Tiki? You need people on base to drive them in.
Yes,
of RBIs course. Are a stat in which you're dependent on your teammates.
Right.
But to say that their numbers aren't even close.
It's like wins for pitchers.
You're right. Saying their numbers aren't close is like not looking at the stats. David Wright had more plus 900 OPS seasons than Don Mattingly had, if we're being honest about that. David Wright hit over 30 home runs a couple of times, just like Donnie did. So the idea that Donnie's best was so far and away better than David Wright is not based in reality. I'm sorry.
How, you know...
What?
Can we live in a world in sports in 2024 where eyeballs matter anymore?
You didn't see Donnie play his prime either, Sean.
First of all... I became a Yankee fan because of Don Mattingly. He came over, rubbed my little head, and signed the ball. Hey, here's for you, kid. All I got taught about baseball was about Don Mattingly. And you're right. I didn't get to enjoy 89, 90, and his back giving out and all of that stuff. All I know is this. That 94, 95 run, Don Mattingly was everything at the end. And I'm sorry, Evan. We live in this world now where everything's OPS, your sister's ass, war, this, that, the other thing. Sometimes eyeball matter. And you just heard from a Met fan there. At their best with your two eyeballs. If your eyes didn't tell you that Don Mattingly was a better player, go to an optometrist today.
You didn't even see it, though.
Did see it. You didn't see 95?
90, Donnie was done in 1995.
And guess what? In 95, he was still better than anything I ever saw from David Wright.
That's a ridiculous statement.
Oh, I made it. Well, I made it.
I can't adjudicate this. I wasn't watching David Wright and Don Mattingly.
I can't
give you the eye test. I can give you the statistical test. And it seems like they're similar.
They're very comparable.
I'm sorry.
Right?
This feels like a Mets favorite. It feels like we know the better organizations in town. Mm. So let's at least on this one thing slide a Met up. That's what it feels like to me.
Oh, stop it. Where's all the angry Giant fans that Tiki was ahead of Phil Simms? I want to hear from them.
Oh, we agree.
No, angry that Tiki was ahead of Phil Simms.
The problem is it's not a Jet.
I know.
That's the issue.
Well, I'm sure we'll get there.
This is giant, all giant crime over here.
And I know. I was hoping for that.
And by the way, Jet fans, lesson learned. If Tiki and Phil are here, we know Klecko ain't on the list. So that we can get rid of.
How do we know Joe Klecko's not on the list? Joe Klecko's in the Hall of Fame, dude.
And okay. Joe Klecko is...
And Tiki like, should be.
Was he a later round pick?
Yeah. He was a seventh, sixth round pick, dude.
So this just proves
you're a hypocrite.
Yes.
This just proves you are a lying...
No, this proves you have me unhinged.
Hypocrite.
You don't have to call him overweight.
Mm. That's such a low blow.
Why did you eliminate Joe Klecko then?
Yeah, you can't eliminate Klecko.
Look,
Joe Klecko was a sixth-round pick. You just did a whole speech about where you're picked.
I'm apologizing.
Now you're eliminating Joe Klecko,
who, by the way, is in multiple positions.
Thank you, Tiki. Thank you.
All right. I'm apologizing to the Klecko family. He caught me at a bad moment. I'm just very, when you
couldn't think of another Jet?
I know. I should have come off with somebody.
Like Curtis Martin? He's going to be top.
Well, Curtis wasn't drafted.
He's a drafted Patriot. Right. Yeah. See, that's another thing, Teak. The best Jet players, you know, they get from other places.
Well, you're forgetting a bunch of guys then, man. Darrell Revis has a great chance to be on this list.
By the way,
he's got to be top five.
And Revis, Super Bowl champ, you know, the whole deal. So he should be on the list.
He's such a hypocrite.
Such a jackass.
He's such a jackass. Like, people think I am. I'm not a jackass.
We're both jackasses. Newsflash.
Yeah, you both are.
Dean's in Bayshore. What's up, Dean?
Hey, what's up, Evan?
Yeah.
I am so surprised, Evan, that with the baseball knowledge that you have, to make a statement that David Wright should be ahead of Don Mattingly, it just blows my mind. Not only should Mattingly be up higher on the list, no offense to you, Tiki, or to most of these guys on this list, Mattingly probably should be in the top 10.
How?
That's how.
Like, Don had a great career. I think you're Evan, taking this as an insult. It's not an insult.
No, I am a 55-year-old Yankee.
I know.
I'll start right there.
Of course I know you are.
But my father was a diehard Mets fan, so I've seen David Wright play most of his games, and nothing against him. He was a great player. But at their best, trust me, if you're to sit down and watch,
Dean, but you have to keep that. But hold on a second. You got to keep this in mind. And I always own this whenever we talk about really any sport. I admit I didn't see Don Mattingly in his prime. Now, of course I admit that. Like, I'd be lying about my age. I'd be lying about my experiences as a baseball fan. Like, I started understanding baseball in 1992 and in 1993. So obviously, when I judge Mattingly versus David Wright, Tiki, of course I'm looking at stats.
Of course.
That's what baseball is about. It's like anyone who calls up this station, not anybody, we have some older listeners, who argues Mickey Mantle, who argues Joe DiMaggio, who argues Babe Ruth, who argues Willie Mays. Obviously, there's a lot of guys we didn't see. The beauty of baseball that I don't think applies to the other sports is that, yeah, we give opinions on guys we didn't see. So I'm not going to not acknowledge that I did not watch Donnie in his prime. But I'm bringing up the numbers, and they're close. They're very, very close. And I think that's what bothers me from, like, our last caller. You're acting as if it's not.
Yeah, well, this is what makes List debatable. This is what makes them fun, because they're debatable. And it also makes it fun because it's a Yankee and a Met, non-Hall of Famers who have or were revered by the respective fan base.
Yeah, very much so.
That's why it makes it.
Where's all the angry Giant fans? I want to hear people piss the Tiki.
It's not going to happen.
How are you ahead of Phil?
It's not going to happen.
What you're learning.
If there was a Jet there, it'd be a conversation.
Then it would be different.
It'd be different.
There's never going to be any Giant on Giant or Met on Met or Jet on Jet crime. We're always so peaceful.
Mm.
Is that how we work as fans?
I would say there's
not until we get to the top, and it's, I don't know, who could it be up there? Lawrence and Eli?
Oh.
Like, not until we get up there.
So let's hold on. I only have the energy for Wright Mattingly right now. There are a few people in the last 50 years that are like Jesus Christ, like on a Mount Rushmore in New York, and Don Mattingly's one. He's Donnie freaking baseball.
No, but, and I want you to understand this in our last caller too. I don't want to mock this. I totally get that that's your childhood icon. I respect that. I respect, like, BT is a diehard Don Mattingly fan. I hear the way he talks about it. I respect the hell out of it. He grew up, that was his guy. Like, we all have players like that. I respect that. But let's not let that morph this into it's not even close. It's offensive that David's ahead of him because reality doesn't back that up. You can love the guy, and look, a lot of this is based on age. If all of a sudden we were hearing from the mid-30-year-old Met fan, maybe even some mid-30-year-old Yankee fans who look at the stats, they may come away with a similar opinion to me and what this list came up with.
And by the way, you won't hear from them because they don't have the emotional tie. It's just it's different.
They have it to David, but they're already happy. David won. They're good.
Right. Well,
they got nothing to say.
And you bring up a good point. If you meet somebody in the who was your childhood idol, and they bring up Don Mattingly, you're like, oh, that's awesome, Donnie Baseball. You meet somebody like, yeah, David Wright was my childhood idol, and I love David. You know, the reaction's like, oh, it's kind of cute. And he played in the World Series.
Are you kidding?
You
kind of feel bad for them.
Why?
What?
Why?
He's not an iconic player. Don Mattingly's an iconic player.
I just tried to be so respectful with what I said about Mattingly and his fans. And look at the way the guy responded.
But I think what Sean is doing, Evan, is he's taking the brand of Donnie Baseball, and he's making it larger than the brand of David Wright.
It is a larger brand.
Of course it is. But that doesn't make him the better draft pick.
So
in the 19th round, it does.
Yeah. It's a bigger
brand. That's the only argument I would give you. It's the only argument I'd give
you. But it's a bigger brand in terms of age and your fan interest. Like, that's why I jokingly but seriously said, oh, here comes the 55-year-old Yankee fan. Like, I get it. That's your wheelhouse. That's your guy. If you spoke to the 35-year-old Met fan, you don't think he's iconic to a lot of Met fans?
I didn't say he's not iconic.
In fact, I forgot if I said this on WFAN or if I said this on the Rico. I apologize if I'm repeating myself. And we'll get into Doc Gooden Day because we do want to comment on that. Mm-hmm. I was in the building for it. I have some opinions on it, the crowd, the speech, the energy.
Your dad was on the field.
Yeah, my dad was on the field.
It was amazing.
I tell you about that?
No, I just saw it.
My dad is a season ticket holder, a longtime season ticket holder. Got to hold up one of the Ks for Doc Gooden.
Oh, that's awesome.
Which I thought was awesome. He had a great time. I was taking pictures from my seat. I barely could see him. He looked like an ant. But I tried. I did the best I could. They didn't sell out. Okay? They didn't sell out. if that event, and this is no disrespect to Doc, you know the way I feel about Doc, if that event yesterday was the retirement of number five, same weather conditions, same Masters tournament going on, same start to the Mets season, I guarantee you there would not have been an empty seat. And that's not a knock on Doc. That's the reality of David Wright and the connection he has to this demographic of Met fans. And if you don't believe me, his final game is a Met. Remember that whole thing, that dog and pony show?
Yep.
They brought him back after 2 years of not playing and said, here, on a random Saturday night, David's going to play his final game against the Marlins. As a season ticket holder, I could tell you, one of the hottest non-playoff tickets I've ever seen. I was in the building that night. The energy, the emotion. It was like a World Series game. So you are just ignorant, and that's okay. I'm ignorant to many things as well.
He's not saying that as an insult. He's saying that as a matter of fact.
It happens. I'm ignorant to things. I try to not be, but I am. You are ignorant based on your age or your fandom on the connection David Wright has to this fan base. Apologize.
I didn't say he doesn't have a connection. I said I feel bad for those he had the connection to. That's all. Real quickly, also, Don Mattingly, ever in any single year the best player in the sport?
No, you have that one.
Okay. David Wright ever.
Don Mattingly was the best player in the sport for a year or two? Absolutely, I'll give you that.
David Wright ever the top five player in the sport?
I think he was in the top 10, yeah. But is that the end all be all? Is that the end all be all? Because I want to play this game. How many World Series home runs did Don Mattingly hit?
Again, we don't know how many he would have hit in 94.
Okay. We'll get back to your calls, 877-337-6666, plus some thoughts on Doc Day, including something I saw in the Citi Field bathroom that I never, ever, ever thought I'd see. But that comes across weird.
You really need to clarify that.
I will clarify in just a couple minutes, and I can promise you it's not dirty or disgusting. But you will agree with me that the oddity of what I saw in the Citi Field bathroom would shock you. I promise you it's not dirty. If you missed it, we unveiled the 2019, 18, and 17 on the top 20 New York draft picks of the last 50 years. You can rewind on the Odyssey app to 4 o'clock. Or rewind even earlier to 2 o'clock when I had compassion for Knicks fans. You guys got screwed. And the NBA needs to reconsider changing the entire playoff format. So here's what happened at Citi Field yesterday that I thought was very unusual in the bathroom. And I was faced with a dilemma because I really wanted to take a picture because I wanted to prove what I saw in the bathroom. But then the moral dilemma was I don't think you really should take a picture of what you see in the bathroom. Like that's
probably a good.
So I decided not to. So I went to the bathroom during the seventh inning stretch because I really had to go. I go to the restroom. I'm doing my thing. And I hear something that didn't make sense. And I look at the TV in the Citi Field bathroom, and the Met game was not on the TV.
Okay, what was on the TV?
What was on the TV is something I have never seen, and I have to admit, I am disgusted by. It may be one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in a men's room at a ballpark. The Yankee game. The Yankee game.
What?
The New York Yankee game was on the TV Piazza Club bathroom.
So the YES Network was on.
Correct.
Was there something else on YES before?
No.
Or after?
No.
So there is no reason for the Yankees to be on.
It's a Sunday afternoon.
I mean, you know the answer to this.
Do I know the answer to this?
And this is actually in defense of the Mets and the Piazza Club.
You're going to defend the Mets and the Piazza Club?
This is not a Don Mattingly, David Wright troll job. There was a rain delay yesterday. There was no Met game on earlier. They flipped on the Yankee game at 1:30 for anybody in the Piazza Club, and nobody bothered to turn it off.
But it was in the restroom.
Again, I bet you multiple
bizarre
multiple TVs throughout were probably on that Yankee game, just giving the fans something to watch, and then not all of them were properly turned back off to the
Met
game.
Not acceptable. When you're in the bathroom, and I've had this experience, it's actually in my Mets Bible, there was a game in which, unfortunately, I had an emergency in the bathroom. You know, a bathroom emergency. Right. And I was able to hear the game while I was doing my thing, and I was scoring the game, too. If that happened yesterday, I wouldn't have been I'd have the Yankee game on. I'd hear about Anthony Volpe getting a huge hit. I'd hear about the Yankee middle infield being atrocious. And Anthony Rizzo forgetting how to play defense.
That's not intentional. That's just that's a mistake. I think Sean's right. That was a flip over during the rain delay. Not all of them got flipped back. That's all that is.
Can't happen.
Because it does. You're right. What you're saying makes no sense.
It cannot happen.
You, oh, man, I gotta go now. But I'll hear the game in the bathroom.
And I was faced with.
Can
a moral...
Can you not change it?
No. How the hell am I changing the TV in the bathroom?
It's a TV. It has a manual. I know we rely on remote controls to do everything nowadays. There has to be a manual way to change a television.
I don't have the confidence to like go into the Mike Piazza Club at Citi Field and like stand up and like try to change the
just reach around the sides. It's like it's got to be there somewhere.
No, I wasn't even looking. When I go to the bathroom, I just want to get out. But the dilemma I had was I really wanted to take a picture. I wanted to prove this because maybe there are people listening saying, Ivan's full of crap. It's not, no way it happened. And I know it happened. So I was getting my phone out saying, all right, I'm going to take a picture. And as the phone came out, I had the moral dilemma of, I think it's against the law. Like, how could I take a picture in a men's room?
You're not taking a picture of anybody's junk. It's a TV.
I know that, but the guy by the urinal doesn't know that. I'm going like this.
But if you don't catch...
it's a TV. It's not like you're taking a picture of, like, I don't know, somebody's doing their business, right? It's just...
you're not playing TV. The shoe game under the stall.
And I think your fear of, like, the illegality of this or the legality of this is more... at like gyms, like you can't take a picture in a gym locker room.
Is that true?
Yeah, like most gyms, you're not allowed to use your cell phone.
So isn't that kind of the same thing as a men's room at a baseball stadium?
Not really. It's a men's room at a baseball stadium.
Well, why would you be allowed to take a picture there, but not in a men's locker room? Because it's similar.
People aren't walking around naked in a Mets bathroom.
Oh no, no one's walking around naked. But I saw a guy at the urinal. I couldn't believe he did this. I thought it was a joke.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
He went second grade pants around his ankles.
Yes.
No.
I could not believe that.
No.
I saw somebody at the bar do that like a couple weeks ago.
What?
I don't know. It's becoming normalized again.
It's becoming normalized. And I had a traumatic moment when I was in second grade, when I went to the bathroom. I'll never forget it. And I did that because that's all I knew. I was in second grade. And a bunch of the kids started laughing at me. By the way,
I didn't even know you back then, and I'm laughing at you.
I appreciate
retrospectively.
I'm glad. I appreciated them laughing at me because I never did it again. That was it. It was like a great learning experience of, okay, that's not appropriate. Don't do that again. And I learned it in the second grade. Meanwhile, I'm at Citi Field, and I got a guy like two stalls down just dropping everything.
Like to and the I'm ground? Like,
yeah. And then I stopped, like, I glazed over, and I was like, I don't want to look anymore. Because now I can't look.
Why would you even go that far down? You don't have to go that far down.
I didn't pull it down.
Like, freedom. No, I'm talking about him.
I don't know.
Like, you can just get to your thighs and, like, just spread your legs a little bit, and it'll hold, like, mid-thigh. You don't have to go all the way down to your ankles.
I have no idea. Jeez. All I know is that my experience at Citi Field was very unique. I have a statement to read. Ah, man. Breaks my heart. I will miss him. We all will miss him. But here's a statement from the New York Yankees. Legendary Yankee voice John Sterling to retire. His unprecedented tenure to be recognized on Saturday, April 20th at Yankee Stadium. So here's the official word. The New York Yankees today announced that legendary Yankees play-by-play radio voice John Sterling, who is called, get this, 5,420 regular season games.
Wow.
And 211 postseason games. Is retiring effective immediately. He will be recognized in a pregame ceremony on Saturday, April 20th, and will visit the WFAN booth during the game. Additionally, he'll be made available to the media in the Yankee Stadium press conference room prior to the 1:05 p.m. matchup versus Tampa Bay. Statement from the Yankees. Fans find a certain comfort in the daily rhythms of baseball. Day in and day out, season after season, the city after city, John Sterling used his seat in the broadcast booth to bring Yankee fans the heartbeat of the game, employing an orotund voice. Is that what it means? Orotund? Orotund voice and colorful personality that were distinctively, unmistakably his own. John informed and entertained, and he exemplified what it meant to be a New Yorker with an unapologetic and boisterous style that exuded his passion for baseball, broadcasting, and the New York Yankees. That is so beautifully well written because it's so freaking true, man.
Right. He also went on to say, and we're going to have him here in a second. This is his statement, and you'll hear the voice of John Sterling in just a second. I am a very blessed human being. I've been able to do what I wanted, broadcast for 64 years. Wow, that's a blessing. As a little boy growing up in New York as a Yankee fan, I was able to broadcast the Yankees for 36 years. It's all to my benefit, and I leave very, very happy. I look forward to seeing everyone again on Saturday.
Well, here he is. Forever, from my generation, from many generations, there will only be one. The voice of the New York Yankees, the great John Sterling. John, congratulations. How are you?
Well, fellas, thank you. You brought me to tears.
You're bringing a lot of people to tears, man. We love you. You're a legend, man.
Well, anyway, thank you. You know, I guess if I was smarter, and I'm not, if I was smarter, I would have done this, you know, March 1st or March 31st. During the winter, the Yankees, as you know, didn't make the playoffs. And so we were free on, you know, October 3rd. And October, November, December, January, February, March, I lived my life as happy as I've lived it, including listening to you guys all the time and watching all the games. You know, I'm the greatest sports fan in history. And I got TVs all over the joint. And I should have stopped then. Anyway, I just don't want to do any more work. I've worked for 64 years, and in July I'll be 86. So, you know, let's face it, my time has come.
Was it a hard decision for you when you ultimately made it? I know you haven't called the last couple of games, and Justin Shackle and Emmanuel Babari have been filling in with Susan. Was it hard for you to make this decision, John?
No, not really. In fact, it wasn't hard at all. It's something I've wanted for a long time. I want to run my life. I live in Edgewater, in a terrific place that I love dearly. It's a big place. And I know the life I want to lead. I just lived it from October till the end of March. And anyway, no, it was not a hard decision, and I can't wait for it to finally happen. As I've told my family, I've got four kids who are grown, and my friends, I've said, well, now we can have dinner anytime. So
that's a blessing.
That's how I feel. And one more thing, I don't have to tell you what a terrific guy Chris Olivero is. After all these years,
he's all right.
Yeah, I have a boss that's so intelligent and well-meaning, and I guess I could just do the home games. But you know what's true, fellas? I don't want to get up in the afternoon and have to go somewhere. In fact, I'd much rather listen to you guys and then listen to the game and watch. Yeah, I can watch 800 games here. So, in fact, that's my plan. I'm going to watch and listen to 162 Yankee games, Mets games, all the games on Turner and ESPN, all the games on MLB. So.
In listening to you over the years, I learned that Susan taught you how to do that, that she would teach you how to get the MLB package and see all these games, and now you could put it to good use and watch everything all day long, John.
Well, I don't want to destroy the story. Susan can't teach me anything because I don't have the equipment. I have regular TVs. But believe me, I'm very good at DVR. And, I'm a master of DVR. Anyway, I will be very happy in my retirement.
Well, I'm glad, you know, you said earlier you could have done this on March 1st. I'm glad you didn't selfishly, and I'll tell you why Yankee fans are glad, because who knows where this season's going. They could win it all. The Yankees look pretty good. And the fact that you were a part of this season, calling a Juan Soto home run, and just especially that first series in Houston, in Arizona, your voice, we were talking about this on the air, your Yankees win call after the finale against the Diamondbacks felt playoff-like. It felt big. So I'm glad, and I know Yankee fans are glad, that your voice was a part of what could very well be a very special season for the New York Yankees.
Well, I happen to agree with you. I think this really could be a special season. You know, the change in Anthony Volpe is just unbelievable. And we were so worried going in about the pitching of Rodon and Cortez and Schmitty, and they're all pitching well. Now, it's a long, long season, but we're going to get Garrett Cole back, and we'll see.
So you will be at Yankee Stadium on Saturday. Everybody going to Yankee Stadium will get a chance to give you what you deserve, which is a standing ovation and a farewell, and you deserve that. And I'm glad you're going to have that on Saturday. And anytime you want to talk Yankee baseball, you know, you call us. We'll pop you on anytime you want, man.
Well, I'd love that. Now, you guys should know, excuse me for a moment. You guys should know, you know, the talk show you're doing?
Yep.
I understand what you're doing perfectly. I landed the talk show at MCA. First of all, you guys weren't born. In April of 72. And I had a talk show in Baltimore, but that was World War III. That was general. But the sports talk show is such a great believer in that part of the medium. Anyway, you guys do a great job. Please keep it up. And anytime you want me, just give a call.
Well, yeah. Congratulations, man. You had a tremendous career, a great career. I was saying this on the air earlier. From my age demographic, you are the voice of the year, the only voice of the Yankees, and you will be sorely missed. But congratulations, man. You deserve that time with your family, and we're all going to miss you, John.
Well, thank you so much, and be well and do well, okay?
Most certainly. Congratulations, thank you. John.
The great, the legendary John Sterling, as he has announced that his brilliant career is coming to its conclusion. Beautiful statement by the Yankees. You want to hear the statement from us, WFAN? Let's rate how WFAN did with their statement. Yankees radio will never quite sound the same without the signature voice, wit, and humor of John Sterling. To generations of Bronx Bombers fans, he was a beloved companion that when you heard John, you knew it was time for baseball. Though he never wore the pinstripes, except, of course, for his fine tailored suits, he was one of the most colorful personalities in Yankee history and all of New York City radio. All of us at WFAN tip our cap and salute our colleague and friend on a truly iconic career. Beautiful statement. So true. We will miss the great John Sterling.
Yeah, you know when you come across somebody who does whatever they do and you just know that they're the best at what they do?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it feels like with John. Like, you don't necessarily appreciate it until you know you're not going to see it anymore. And I always wonder, like, how great it is to be the best at what you do and not even realize it. Like, I don't think he's cocky in that regard. I don't think he considers himself to be as great as he actually is. And it's not because he's, you know, perfect with everything.
No.
It's because you feel like you want to sit right next to him and listen to him. Right? I mean, he's just talking, just this little anecdote that he just gave when he first had his first talk show, talking about during the war years. Can you imagine like, just sitting down having a conversation with him about baseball during the war?
Yeah.
Right? Things like that are just, I mean, that's just pretty amazing.
John has seen it all, so congratulations to him. If you're going out to the ballpark on Saturday, they're also giving away the Aaron Judge bobblehead on Saturday as well. Mm. So that'll be a very, very cool day if you're going to Yankee Stadium. You get the bobblehead, and you get to honor the great John Sterling.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.